We're holding on Mem Gimel Amud Bey's nine lines from the bottom, line begins with Siloy. The Gemara tells, Nechemya Breder of Chaniloy, Meshachtet Shmaiten. Nechemya Breder of Chaniloy was one time very fartiffed in his learning, in something that he had heard in learning, and he was thinking about it and walking on Shabbos. Benofak chutz l'tchum, and he wound up walking outside the tchum without even realizing that he had, because he was so deep in thought. So now he all of a sudden realizes that. So now he looks up, and all of a sudden he realizes he's outside the tchum. And the din would be, as we've learned before, that if you're outside the tchum, you can only walk 4 amos. Omelet of Chista of Nachman. So Rav Chista says to Rav Nachman, who was this Nechemya's Rebbe, Nechemya Talmud Chashori B'tzar. Your Talmud Nechemya is in trouble because he is stuck within 4 amos. In other words, the question was, what can we do for him? Omelet, said Rav Nachman, says, Aseilo Mechitza Shovnei Adam B'Yikonis. Make a Mechitza of people for him, and he'll be able to come in. In other words, what you do is, Parshat, you get a bunch of people, as we're going to discuss now in the Gemara, exactly how it works and how you're able to do it. But you get a bunch of people together to surround him at intervals of less than 3 tefachim, so lovud. And then that way, in effect, what you have is like this. What you're accomplishing with those people is you're making that now he's within an enclosed area. Now, we've learned in the Mishnah and the Gemara so far about you have, for example, a person was placed into a deer v'sahar by Goyim on Shabbos in an enclosure. We said that Rav Gamliel says you're allowed to walk throughout the whole thing. The whole enclosure counts as if it was 4 amos. So here, the idea would be that closure of the people counts in the same kind of way. It counts, so therefore he's allowed to walk throughout the whole enclosure. Now, what happens is they make sure one end of this enclosure, one end of this group of people, is within his original tum. So he's, let's say, so Nechemya is standing, let's say ten amos outside the tum. So what you do is you make sure that the ring of people surrounding him extends out far enough where he is, as well as the other end of it extends to within the original tum, within 2,000 amas of the city. Therefore, he's allowed to walk throughout that whole enclosure. And once he did, then already he's back in his tum, and then he's allowed to go back home. Similar to the way we learned at the beginning of the Perek, that if a person is outside the tchum where he only has 4 amos and he has to go to the bathroom, so we said that he's able to go and walk to find a bathroom because God or Kovod Abrius, we said Kovod Abrius, the human dignity is an important thing, and once he does that, if he's smart, we said in the Gemara, then he walks in the direction of his original tchum to find a private place to go to the bathroom, and if in doing so, he ended up within his original tum, then he's allowed to walk back home, then it's considered he has his original tum again. So Rav Nachman is saying the same thing over here, but with the twist that it's not that Nechemya is going to look for the bathroom, it's that we're going to use a bunch of people as the enclosure around him, and that way the other end of the enclosure, he'll be able to walk within that and eventually be back in his own tum. So the Gemara tells, Yosef Rav Nachman by Yitzchak Achoda de Rava. So now, Rav Nachman by Yitzchak was sitting as a Talmud behind Rava when this took place. The Yosef Rava Kamei de Rav Nachman. Rava was sitting in front of Rav Nachman. Rava was Rav Nachman's Talmud. Rav Nachman by Yitzchak was Rava's Talmud eventually. And right now, he was one of the junior Talmudim who's sitting in front of Rav Nachman, but behind Rava. The way it worked in those days was that only the Talmidim in the front row had the right to ask questions. The ones in rows behind them would have to filter their questions through the Talmidim in the front row, which, I mean, you know, the purpose for it would have been the pashtos that way. You know, that way we're talking in a senior yeshiva over here. You know, we're not talking over here in a cheder for little kids. So like this, the idea would be that this way the questions will be filtered. This way the Rosh Yeshiva only gets the good questions, like the ones that are easily disposed of. The Talmidim themselves can answer. Tosfos points out, by the way, from here and from a number of other Gemaras, we see that plain Rav Nachman in the Gemara is not Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. Plain Rav Nachman in the Gemara is a different Rav Nachman than Rav Nachman by Yitzchak, as we see over here in the Gemara. In fact, his name was Rav Nachman by Yaakov. So usually the Gemara doesn't usually identify him by his father's name. It usually just identifies him as Rav Nachman. But when it's necessary to, when it's necessary, because there are other Reb Nachmans around, then the Gemara will use will use the name Reb Nachman by Yaakov. There's a Rashi in Gittin, which seems to imply that plain Reb Nachman in the Gemara is Reb Nachman by Yitzchak. So Tosfos points out from here and from various other Gemaras, we see it's not so. Anyway. So like this again, you had Rav Nachman as the Rosh Hashiva, Rava is in the first row behind him, we're holding on the bottom of Mem Gimel Amud Beis, and Rav Nachman Rav Yitzchak is one of the junior Talmidim, who's sitting behind Rava. So when this happened, that Rav Nachman gave this psak, that we can make a mechitza of people around somebody who went out of the tchum, and that way you make sure the other end of the mechitza is within the tchum, and that way he's able to go in. So, Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak L'Rava, my come boile Rav Chista. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak asked Rava, what was Rav Chista's question in the first place when he comes and tells Rav Nachman, Nechemya Tamid Chashori Vitzar, that Nechemya is in trouble because he accidentally walked outside the tchum? Doesn't Rav Chista know what the din is? So what exactly is the point of Rav Chista's question where then Rav Nachman had to give a psak halacha? Ilem b'demolu gavri yaskinen. Are we talking about that you have enough people over there who, now by the way, of course, the people who are going to go and form one end of this mechitza outside the tchum obviously can't be people from the same city that Nechemya himself was from, because they themselves can't walk out the tchum. So either they could be from the same city and they made an Erev Tchumen. They could be from a nearby city where this place happens to be within their tchum. Or they could be Goyim for that matter. But whatever. Anyway, Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, "Ilemi b'demolu gavriya skinen." Are we talking about that there are enough people where you're able to make a full enclosure like that of people within three tefachim of each other and surround the entire area from where Nechemya is outside the tchum, and surround him all the way on that side and all the way to the other side to within the tchum? So you have enough people for that. And then Rav Chista's question would just be, is the halacha in fact like Rav Gamliel of our Mishnah or not, where we had in our Mishnah the case where a person was taken outside the tchum on Shabbos and placed into another enclosed area, deer or sahar. We said that Rav Gamliel allows him to walk throughout, Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar ben Azariah allow him to walk throughout the enclosure because they consider the entire enclosure as if it was four amos, even though, and here's the key thing, as we've learned before in the Gemara, even though it's not Shavas ba'aver mechitzis, even though he didn't start Shabbos within that enclosure, Rav Gamliel and Rav Elazar ben Azariah still say that's fine. So here would be the same kind of scenario. Nechemya didn't start out Shabbos within this enclosure of people, but now during Shabbos he finds himself enclosed by it. So the question would be whether it counts as like whether in fact he is able to walk throughout the whole thing, like Rav Gamliel says, and then that the result would be that that the other end of this enclosed area is within his original tchum, and therefore he's able to go back into his original tchum, and then we're fine. Keeping in mind, of course, that he went out of the tchum to begin with, shaloi ladas, because he went out there, he was fatifed in his learning, so that's it. It wasn't that if he went out deliberately, then we said he'd only have four amas, even if he did come back in. Anyway, is that the question of Rav Chista? Is the halacha like Rav Gamliel or not? Oy dilma b'deloi molu gavriya skinan, or maybe we're talking about there's not enough people to make a full enclosure like that. So let's say, in other words, so there might not be enough people to make a full enclosure. The enclosure that we make of these people would end two amas away from where Nechemya is. And then, then the question would be, then in which case, Rav Chista's question would be, whether the halacha is like Rav Eliezer or not, which we're going to learn at the end of our perek. If a person goes outside of the tchum, Rabbi Eliezer says that if he goes up to two amas outside of the tchum, he's still able to come back in. Why? Because we know that the person has four amas. Rabbi Eliezer over there holds, as we're going to see in the Gemara over here, that the person's four amos is two amos in every direction around him. So therefore, it comes out that his little tum of four amos comes out. If he's up to two amos away from the edge of the original tum, then he's still able to walk two amos, and then he comes out at the edge of his original tum, and therefore he'd be able to go from there. So in other words, in our scenario over here with Nehemiah, what would happen? If we had only enough people to make a mechitza until two amas away from him, then would we say he's able to walk those two amas? Then he finds himself within the mechitza, and then from there he's able to, walk. So that's the question. So what exactly was the scenario over here that Rav Chista is asking what the halacha is? Well, what the question isn't Rishus Rabim or Rishus Yachad over here. The question is Tchumim. It's not a matter of taking baby steps. It's a matter of we need to have that he's outside the Tchum right now. If we didn't have some way of fixing up the situation, he would be stuck within four amas. We want to get him back into town. So therefore, so Rav Nachman is saying that we make an enclosure of people, meaning the people have to be standing fairly close together within three tvachim of each other in order to make a mechitza.
How can you make an enclosure on Shabbos or Yom Tov?
One second, Ali. Avraham Moshe, you're asking how you can make an enclosure on Shabbos. That indeed is one of the things we're going to discuss in this sugya. That's one of the points we're going to take up over here. But what did you say, Ali? That matter of walking pachas midalat amas, that has to do as far as carrying things in Rishus Rabim. That has nothing to do with our situation over here, right? Actually, Tosfos asks the question, let's say we don't have enough people. So what? Let's make an enclosure of people that he can walk a certain distance, and then we'll reform the enclosure of the people, and then he can walk another little distance, and so forth. Tosfos says that no, because we're going to say at the end of our sugya that this whole thing only works one time. You can't do it again and again, because then already it becomes a gnai to Shabbos. It becomes a zilusa for Shabbos that you're making it like the No. Because again, you could have people where all of this area is within their tum. No, let's say, in other words, the scenario is, let's say, for example, you have another town that's 1,000 amas away, where all of this is within their tchum and there's no problem of it. Or you have people from the same town who made an Erev Tchumen, and again, the whole thing is within their tchum and there's no problem of that. But yeah. So let's say, but... The Pashtos not. The Pashtos have to have their feet standing together, because otherwise you have, if just their hands are joined, then it's above 3 tvachim from the ground, and that wouldn't be... Okay. Yeah. Okay. Onward. Okay, so that was the question. So the answer is, the Gemara says, Pshita b'deloy molu gavri askinan. It must be necessarily that we're talking about there weren't enough people to make a full mechitza, and therefore the question becomes, again, whether he's able to walk those two amas outside of the mechitza, like Rabbi Eliezer says, and then he's able to go back in. And if we were talking about you actually have enough people to make a full enclosure where one end of it surrounds him and the other end of it is within the tum, then what would Rav Chista's question have been in the first place? We know already from previously in the Gemara that Rav said the halacha is like Rav Gamliel as far as all the cases in our Mishnah, both the dir v'sahar where he wasn't within the mechitzas before Shabbos, and the boat where he was within the mechitzas before Shabbos, but the boat itself moves. And Rav Chista is a Talmud of Rav, so he would know. So he would know what Rav says. So he would know the halacha is like Rav Gamliel. He would have no reason to even be asking. He wouldn't have had to come to Rav Nachman to ask what to do at all. He himself would have known that you could make this enclosure. And evidently, we have to be talking about there's not enough people to make a full mechitza. The end of the mechitza of people would end up being an amma or two away from where Nehemiah is. Or did Rabbi Eliezer come by? So therefore, his question would be, is the halacha like Rabbi Eliezer in the Mishnah later on, whether... again, whether in general a person who walked up to 2 amos outside of the up to 2 amos outside of the tchum is still able to re-enter the tchum, whether we give him that grace of 2 amos because again he has 4 amos and he's in the middle of it. So that would have been the scenario. And the Gemara says Deka Nami. In fact, we can show that from the wording of from the wording that Rab Nachman used. Deka Amala Yikonis, because we see that when Rab Nachman answered the question, he said it Aseilei Mechitza Shabane Adam VYikonis. Why does he would use the word Yikonis? To go in, he could just say, make him a mechitza of people. Obviously, the purpose of it is for him to go into the tchum. Why does he need to say yikonis? My yikonis, lav v'loy mechitza. Evidently, it must mean that he's able to go in even in a certain area where there's no mechitza. So even though he's outside the tchum and there's no mechitza around him, he's able to start coming back in, namely to walk up to those up to 2 amos, and then he'll reach the mechitza of people, and then from there he's within the deer of a sahar, in effect, and then he can walk the rest of the way back into the tchum. So in other words, we're using two kolos over here. We're using Rabbi Gamliel's opinion in our Mishnah that if a person at any point during Shabbos ends up within Mechitzis, then he's able to walk throughout that whole area of Mechitzis. And we're also using, evidently, Rav Nachman is also using Rav Eliezer's heter, which is that if a person is up to 2 amos outside the tchum, then they're able to come in this case, up to 2 amos outside of the enclosure, the Deir V'Sahar. Now, with all that said, the way we have it in the Gemara over here is that Rav Nachman Yitzchak asked Rava the question, and he and Rava are going back and forth on this. Before now, we're going to have that Rav Nachman Yitzchak is going to ask a question on this. Tosfos brings a different girsa that Rav Nachman Yitzchak so far was not involved in the conversation at all. It was all Rav Nachman. Well, he asked the question. Rava answered. Rava went through the possibilities and ended up saying that obviously we're talking according to Rav Eliezer. And now Rav Nachman Yitzchak comes and asks a question on it. So Eisver Rav Nachman Yitzchak Rava. We learn in a Braisa regarding a sukkah, nofal doifna, if the wall of the sukkah falls down during sukkahs, on Yom Tov, or Shabbos, lo yamid adam behem of a kalim, you're not allowed to stand a person or an animal or kalim over there in order to make back up the wall. The lo yizko for some mitzvah lifer saleh sodin, you're also not allowed to put up, to stand up a bed frame, and put a sheet over it. And now, in all those cases, it doesn't look like binyan. It makes, especially when you're moving the bed frame, it looks like just okay. You don't have enough room in the sukkah, so you're trying to clear some space. So it's not so obvious. Not a matter of maris ayin that you're making a binyan, but it still it would be osur because you're making a wall. Because you're not allowed to make a temporary oil on Yom Tov. You're not allowed to make a temporary oil on Yom Tov. Needless to say, you can't on Shabbos. So what are you telling me? So here comes your question, Avraham Moshe. How are you able to make a mechitza of people on Shabbos? We see from this braisa that you can't make a mechitza on Sukkos. So Rava answers at Amrit Limeha. So you're asking a question on the basis of that brisa. But no, I mean Alach Meha. I'll answer you with a different brisa. The brisa says Oisa Adam as Chavere Doifen Kadesh Yoichav V'Yishan. A person can make another person a temporary wall for his sukkah in order that he should be able to eat or drink or sleep in the sukkah. V'Yifrus Amita. He is able to stand up a bed frame. V'Yifrus Aleh Sodin and spread out a sheet over it and make a wall that way. And he's allowed to do that with the bed frame in order that the sun doesn't shine on a mess that might be in the sukkah or on food that might be in the sukkah and cause them to spoil. So you see, you are allowed to put such a thing up on. Shabbos, a mechitza. So by the same token, you're able to make a mechitza of people. Sahar doesn't allow us to do dinim d'oraisa, and not all dinim d'rabbanan either. But so first we have to figure out kash and hadadi. Now Rava continues. Okay, Rav Nachman Vayitzchok, you have a point. You have a braisa that seems to contradict. I have a braisa that seems to, that supports what Rav Nachman is saying. But the fact is, the braisas do seem to contradict each other. So how do we reconcile them? And the answer must be like Kasha Harav Eliezer Harabanan. The answer must be that the two brises, one of them represents the opinion of Rav Eliezer, and the other one of the Chachamim. Now we said at the top of the Amud that we're trying to make this thing with the temporary mechitza work for Nehemiah to be able to go back into the Tchum. We said we're trying to make that work. We're using Rav Eliezer's opinion, but that's a different opinion of Rav Eliezer. We can say the halacha is like him as far as the two amas, and not say at the same time not say that the halacha is like him as far as a temporary mechitza, because as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, you can't pick and choose when the two psukim contradict each other. You can't say, for example, you can't follow Rabbi Eliezer Lakula and somebody else Lakula where those two kulas contradict each other. But here, the two amas outside the tchum and a temporary oil, one has nothing to do with the other. So therefore, we're entitled to say that halacha is like Rabbi Eliezer in one and not in the other. So we said, we gave an example. We talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, that we said over there that if a person follows the Chum, a person can follow either Bes Shammai or Bes Hillel, but he can't follow the Kulis of Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel, or the Chumris of Bes Shammai and Bes Hillel. And we said, among the various answers we had over there was that we're talking about where the Kula and Chumra contradict each other. We had an example over there, for example, involving a din in Hilchus Treifus and a similar concept in the halachas of Tumas Nes, where Bes Shammai is Mekel in one and Machmer in the other, and vice versa with Bes Hillel, but it's both based on the same principle. How much of a spine has to be missing for it not be to be a spine? How much of a skull has to be missing for it not to be a skull? So if a person were to follow both kulas over there, then that would be wrong because they're contradicting each other. But over here, the two kulas have nothing to do with each other. Anyway. If somebody smarter figures out, then we'll deal with it then. But right now, we don't. Yeah. Okay. So, where do we see that Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim argue on this point? The Tanan. We learn in a Mishnah in Shabbos, a window shade. So it's not really a window shade because it's not actually necessarily attached to the wall. You know, a regular window shade that you think of is usually attached to the window frame. So it's a window closer, I guess you could say. It's like a board or something. Well, even in Israel, the shutters they have over there are hinged and attached to the walls. There's no question you can open and close those on Shabbos. The question is, here we're dealing, it's a loose board, which you pick up and put in the window.
They didn't have the best technology.
Right. So, Rabbi Eliezer, Mizman Shekosher V'Toloi, Rabbi Eliezer says that if it's hanging from a rope, we learned this on Shabbos, and it's hanging off the ground, so in other words, number one, it's attached using a rope, and number two, the rope is not long enough for it to drag all the way down to the ground, it's hanging in the air, then you're allowed to close up the window with that on Shabbos, because then it doesn't look like binyan, because then it looks more clearly like something that's made to close the window. If not, then you're not allowed to close the window with it, because it looks like boina. Now, this is an example of something that's arai, of something that's temporary, because eventually you're going to open the window again. The chum say either way you're allowed to. So therefore, so we see that Rabbi Eliezer does not allow you to make an oil arai, and the Chachamim do. So there you go then. So then in our case of the oil, you're making a mechitzas arai involving the people to surround Nehemiah. Rabbi Eliezer wouldn't allow it, but the Chachamim would. Good. So the halacha is like the Chachamim. So therefore, there's no problem, says Rabbi. The problem with that is... Well, that's the steer. The answer of the steer between the two brises is the first one that Rabbi Nachman Yitzchak used for the question is according to Rabbi Eliezer, and the second one is according to the Chachamim. But v'ha'itmar Allah, but there was said about that even the Chachamim, that there was a restriction even within what the Chachamim say. Amar Rabba Babachana Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Hakol Moedim She'en Oisin Oihal Arai B'tchila B'yamtav V'en Tzorach Lema B'Shabbos. Both Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim agree that you're not allowed to begin with make an oil arai on Yomtav, needless to say on Shabbos. So in other words, it's only in the case of a window stopper where you already have a wall there and you're just adding to the existing wall by putting the window stopper in. That's when the machlokes would be. The argument is only when you're adding to an existing wall, which in effect is what you're doing when you're putting in this pkak. the pekakas, the window closer. So Rabbi Eliezer says you can't do that on Yom Tov. Needless to say, you can't do that on Shabbos. The Chachamim say you're allowed to add it on Yom on Shabbos. Needless to say, you're allowed on Yom Tov. Now, in this case involving our mechitza of people that we're talking about over here, you're making a whole new oil. Even the Chachamim shouldn't be allowing that. You're doing it on Shabbos. So how does that work? Now, one thing we have to point out in this connection is, Tosfos mentions over here that in the Gemara, now Rashi's Shitta is that when we talk about an Oihel on Shabbos, we're specifically talking about a roof. According to Rashi, in Shabbos, there's no problem making a mechitza from the side on Shabbos. The only question would be as far as a roof from on top. Therefore, Rashi learns over there in Shabbos that the pekak halon we're talking about is a cover for a skylight. Because if it was a cover if it was a stopper for a window in the side of the wall, then according to Rashi, there would be no problem with it. So now, how does that fit with our Gemara over here? So that would be hard to fit with our Gemara over here, where we're talking about making a mechitza from the side. So in fact, Rashi over here seems to learn differently. And in fact, there are Rishonim who point out, among others, the Ritva, that Rashi seems to have changed his mind. The Ritva points out this is an example of being Moidala Emes, where Rashi agrees that the original most of the Rishonim, in fact, disagree with Rashi on that. And say that making a mechitzas arai would also be a problem, as we're going to see in the Gemara, that the basic question is this mechitza coming to me matir something? The way it's brought ultimately in Shulchan Aruch, based on the whole discussion of Rishonim on this, is if it's a mechitza that's not meant to be matir anything, then sure, you're allowed to put up a mechitzas arai on Shabbos, and it's only a question with an oil arai. But if you're trying to make it to be matir something, an example it gives in Shulchan Aruch is that it says in halacha, in halacha, a couple is not allowed to have relations when there's a light in the room. You also, or whether svarim in the room or whatever. So what if you want to put up a mechitza to block that? Then you would have a problem doing that on Shabbos because that mechitza is coming to be matir or something. As opposed to, so we have to figure out then how that's going to fit over here. So anyway, the point is that the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Chachamim seems to be relevant only when you're adding to an existing oil. Here you're making a new one, you're making a new mechitza of people. So even according to the Chachamim, that shouldn't be allowed. So we're back to the question, how is Rabbi Nachman saying, make a mechitza of people, and we're going to allow Nechemya back in that way? And we still have the question, how do we reconcile the two brises? Again, we can't say that one is according to Rabbi Eliezer and the other according to the Chachamim, because there's no reason the Chachamim should allow it either when you're coming to a wall of a sukkah to put it up. Rather, we can answer that the two brises, one is according to the mayor and the other is according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, asal the behema doifen l'sukkah. If a person makes an animal a wall for his sukkah, Reb Meir posel v'Reb Yehuda machshir. Reb Meir says it's posel. Reb Yehuda says it's kosher. So Reb Meir de kaposel hasam. So why Reb Meir? So that it comes out like this. If Reb Meir is saying that it's posel, alma loy mechitzahi, then it means, in other words, in effect, according to Reb Meir, that wall you're putting up an animal over there to form a wall. It doesn't actually form a wall lahalacha. Therefore, hachashari, delad midi kavid. So in our scenario, it would be mutter to do it because you're not accomplishing anything useful. You're not accomplishing anything useful by it anyway. No, that's the point. According to the mayor, it's not valid as a wall of a sukkah. So therefore, so what are you accomplishing by putting the animal over there? You're doing it for practical reasons. Let's say you're doing it because you're doing it, as we said in the braisa, because you don't want the sun to shine. You want to block the sun from the food or the mess or whatever in order that it doesn't spoil, or just, you know, for convenience, so you have a little extra shade over there. So that Rameo would allow, but he's saying it's not considered a valid wall of a sukkah anyway. In terms of making it a kosher sukkah, in other words, if this sukkah originally had three walls, most sukkahs, in general in the Gemara, a sukkah usually was made with only three walls. Nowadays, we're makbid to make four walls, but we know that the ikra adin is three. And in the times of the Gemara, that's generally how they used to do it. So if one wall falls down, you don't have a kosher sukkah anymore. So in terms of making it a kosher sukkah, putting a behemoth over there according to the mayor is not going to help anything. But in terms of practicality, to give a little shade, it will. So therefore, so here Rabbi Yehuda, so here the mayor would allow it. Delav me dekavit, because he's not doing anything. Rabbi Yehuda to come machshu hasam. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda, who's saying that it would be kosher in the case of a sukkah, alma mechitzah, meaning that he considers it a real full fledged mechitzah. Therefore, hacha aser. So therefore, when it comes to doing it on Shabbos, necessarily he would have to say it's aser because you're putting up a mechitzah on Shabbos. You're putting up a mechitzah. In particular, you're putting up a mechitzah. Because you're actually making the sukkah kosher thereby. Before, the sukkah has only two walls and it's possible, and now you're making it kosher by adding the third wall. Okay. So therefore, here you have an example of a kula and a chumra that contradict each other, at least according to Rashi. Two kulas that contradict. If you were to say, for example, you can put up the animal there as a wall on weekdays, and you can also put it there on Shabbos, then those would be two kulas that contradict each other, because are you considering that you're is it making a valid mechitzah, or is it not making a valid mechitzah? Would be permissible on Shabbos, because anyway, you're not accomplishing anything in terms of making a mechitzah. But the kula of saying that it's a valid mechitzah would make it that you can't do it on Shabbos, right? Now, by the way, I mean, even this is only dealing with the matter of the animal. We mentioned in the first brisa, we mentioned a person or kalim as well. There, maybe you have a different issue. And in fact, by the way, the Gemara in Sukkah has a number of different reasons for a mayor's opinion why you can't make an animal for a Sukkah. Besides, one reason might be because the animal might run away, in which case then that shouldn't apply to a person or kalim. Another reason would be because it's a mechitzah of shasuya beruach. It depends on the animal's breath to be there. But in that case, that wouldn't be relevant to kalim either. So if it's tied, then you don't have so much of an issue, because then even if it dies, it won't sag. That's another point the Gemara mentions over there. Yeah, it might die, and then it'll sag down. You don't have a mechitza. So if it's tied in place, then you don't have that. So the Rashi mentions over here that, look, the Gemara could have mentioned any of those points, but the Gemara anyway is going to slog up this explanation that we're talking according to the Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So therefore the Gemara doesn't bother. Meanwhile, though, I mean, Tosis points out that anyway, I mean, we're still back to the question, okay, let's say we reconcile the two braises. We're still left with how do we understand the story of Nehemiah, where we're making a mechitza over here to be mocked to him in order to come back in. So Tosfos learns the answer of the Gemara a little differently than Rashi does. The Sarmi Kutzi explains like this. Rameyer says it would be possible for Sukkos because it can't stand there the entire 7 days of Sukkos. Even if, let's say, you could have an animal can stand there for a little while, but it's not going to stand there the entire 7 days and then be your mechitza. Therefore, the mayor would say that as a temporary mechitza, it would be allowed. In the case of Nehemiah, again, the people aren't going to be standing there the whole 7 days. So to make such a thing on Shabbos would be fine. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda, and even for the sukkah, Rabbi Meir might allow it. I mean, if you're going to put the animal there for a few minutes, it's not going to run away in a few minutes' time. He's talking about you can't have it there for the. He's talking about you can't have a wool. You can't make a wool that's not going to be suitable for the entire 7 days of sukkahs. Meanwhile, Rabbi Yehuda would say the other way around. Okay. So, the problem with that is the Tisbara. How could you think that Svara, that the two Brises are according to the Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, Eimer Deshamet Leh Leh Meir Behema, even Rabbi Meir is only talking about that you can't make an animal as a wool for your sukkah. Odom V'Kelim Mishamet Leh, where do you ever find that he says anything about a person or Kelim? So the first Brisa had mentioned that Lo Yamed Odom Behema V'Kelim. Or bed frame over there. So fine, you've answered the case of a behemoth. But how does that explain the person or the kalim or the bed or whatever? Vetura Meir al liber deman. Also, we have to ask the mayor's opinion himself when he's saying that it's mutter, when he would be saying that it's mutter to put up such a temporary mechitza on Shabbos. Which of the Tanoim of the earlier generation would he be following? If he was going according to Rabbi Eliezer, which after all, Rabbi Eliezer was one of the Rebbeim of Rabbi Akiva, who in turn is the Rebbe of Rabbi Meir. So if we were to assume that Rabbi Meir is following Rabbi Eliezer's opinion, Lahoisif Nami also knew, we said before, that Rabbi Eliezer is not going to allow even to add to an oil arai, because we had in the case of the window blocker. Evidently, we have to say that a mayor is going according to the Rabbanon. But again, we're back to the question, Emor de'amir Rabbanon lahoisif lachatchila mi'omer. Again, even the Rabbanon only allow you to add to an oil arai, they don't allow you to create one in the first place. So we're back to the question of, number one, how are we making a mechitzas arai for Nehemiah to go back in? And number two, how do we have any brisa, even if we're going to say that one brisa is according to the mayor, that's going to allow us to put an Adam or Behemoth or Kalim or whatever to be a wall for the sukkah? So we have to answer both brises do go according to the Rabbanon. So why do we have one that's Mekel and one that's Machmer? The Kalim are Kalim Lekasha. There's no contradiction between the parts about the Kalim. It depends whether you're talking about third wall or fourth wall. So if you're making it a third wall, that actually makes it an oil. Now, you do have, there is an understanding of the Raivad here, that we're not necessarily talking about a sukkah, for the mitzvah on sukkahs. We can be talking about just a sukkah, a shady area that you want to sit in throughout the year. So still, two walls of it is not really enough for it to be functional. The third one makes it functional. And then once you have three, if you add a fourth one, it doesn't really add anything more. As opposed to over here, Rashi and most of the other Rishonim understand that we're talking about a sukkah shal mitzvah. So the same idea. In other words, two walls, it's not a valid sukkah. Three walls, it becomes a valid sukkah. And if you have three walls already, then the fourth one is not adding anything in terms of halacha. The Ravid says that we're talking about a sukkah, just a sukkah in order to sit in for shade. No. I'm just saying the Ravid wrote a lot of different things. So halba dofen shlishis, halba dofen revis. So it depends whether you're talking about the third wall or the fourth wall. So the third wall, you would not be allowed to put anything over there, behema or adam or kalim, because in effect that is making a new mechitza, because now you're making it into a usable sukkah, usable throughout the year according to the Ravid, usable for sukkahs according to Rashi and everybody else. Haba Dofen Revius, as opposed to if it's the fourth wall that fell down, you want to put up a fourth wall to begin with now, because you want more shade, you want to prevent the mess from spoiling or whatever, so then that would be allowed because it was already a functional sukkah without that. Dekanami Dekatani Nafal Doifna. So okay, in fact we can see that from the wording of the Braisa, because the first Braisa uses the expression Nafal Doifna. If its wall fell down, its wall implies a wall which is an absolute necessity for it to be a valid sukkah, which could only be the third wall. If it was a fourth wall, you can't call it doifna, so that would be the case. Where's the second braisa when it says Oisa Adamas Chaveda Doifen, it's talking about you already have three walls and you're adding a fourth wall in order to get. Okay. So that takes care of the two braises. Ela odema odem kasha. First of all, actually, no, we haven't quite finished with the two braises. We still have the question, okay, so when it comes to the behema, or it comes to the bed, or the kalim, or whatever, then fine. But when it comes to the person, you have one braisa saying that you're allowed to put people over there, and another one saying that you're not. How do you reconcile that? Let's look at the two braises again. The one braisa says that you're not allowed to put Adam behemah v'kalim. The second one is saying that you're making a person that a person is making another person a wall. K'dei sheyoychal v'yishtev v'yoshin, so that he can eat, drink, and sleep in the sukkah, implying that without that he's not going to be able to because it doesn't have a third wall. Well, if it doesn't have a third wall, how are you allowed to put a person over there? You're back to the same problem that you're making a mechitza in order to make the sukkah valid. The answer is odama odam nami like kasha kan ladas kan shalemidas. It depends whether the person is there ladas. He knows that he's standing there for a mechitza versus shaloi ladas. So it's one thing, in other words, when it comes to kelim, derech dinyan bekach, it's normal sometimes to make an oihel or even a temporary oihel or whatever using kelim. It's not normal to make an oihel with people. Therefore, if the person is standing there, shaloi ladas, he doesn't even know that he's standing there for this purpose. You just asked him, stand there a minute. You didn't tell him why. And he's standing over there, that we're not even going to consider to be a mechitzas arai. Yeah, let's say he thinks he's standing there in order to get a picture taken or whatever, yeah. Okay. Whatever it is, the point is he's standing there without realizing why he's standing. That would be mutter. Whereas if he knows that he's standing there for the sake of a mechitza, then not. So the question is, now let's get back to the original story that we started with. Wasn't it Ladas? Wasn't it Ladas? The Pashtus, when Rav Nachman says, go gather people together and make a mechitza around him, the Pashtus, the people know why they're being assembled over there. So it's Ladas. So how are we allowed to do it? By the way, we see in the story that the Nehemiah has gotten an upgrade. We started the story just calling him Nehemiah Breder of Chaneloi. Now we're calling him Reb Nehemiah Breder of Chaneloi. It could just be a copyist thing, though. You know, it's not allowed after that has any significance. Anyway. The answer is Shaloi Midas, Hava. As a matter of fact, it was Shaloi Midas. They gathered the people together there. They didn't tell them why they're there. They just told them, please go line up over there. But they didn't tell that, nobody told them why they're doing it. The question, yeah, they're practicing for camps, yeah. The question is, Rav Chista Mia Ladas, Hava. Okay, but Rav Chista at least knows that he's making a machitza because he's the one who gathered them together for this purpose. The answer is Rav Chista Shaloi Min Aminyan Hava. The answer is, okay, but he wasn't one of the actual people who made up the mechitza, so therefore it's not a problem. In other words, so the Lamaskana, it's not a problem if let's say you who are sitting in the sukkah, it's Ladas for you. You ask somebody else to stand there to be a wall for your sukkah. As long as it's Shaloi Ladas for him, then it's fine. You yourself are not forming the mechitza. So therefore, as long as nobody in that mechitza knows what purpose they're there for, then it's fine. It sounds like a very strange thing, and we're going to see if the... They didn't necessarily realize that he's stuck. So one second, let's continue. Hanu bnei gnana. It happened once that these people who make chuppas, that was their job, is to make chuppas for people. Da ilu maya b'mechitza shel bnei adam. They used the mechitza shel bnei adam like this to bring water in from outside the tchum. Nagdinu Shmuel. And Shmuel gave them malchus for it, malchus maudrus, because they were over on a dinze rabbanon. Omar, because Shmuel said, Im Omru, Shaloi Midas, Yomru Ladas. Okay, we say that such a thing works Shaloi Ladas. It doesn't work Ladas, where they know. Actually, it actually explains it wasn't from outside the Tchum. What it was is it was they wanted to bring the water from Rosh Hasharabim to Rosh Hasayachid. The same logic that was saying that you can make a Mechitza Shabbanei Adam to be able to go from outside the Tchum to in the Tchum. The same logic would work in principle as far as bringing something from Rosh Hasharabim to Rosh Hasayachid. So here they did that, but the problem was it was Ladas. They knew that they're gathering for that purpose in order to be allowed. So that Shmuel said you don't have a heter for that. So therefore you carried on Shabbos and therefore we're going to give you a petch for that. Then that would be all the worse if you tell them before Shabbos. But even if you tell them on Shabbos, no. Well, you mean saying if they stand there the whole time before Shabbos? The Pashtus, it still would be the same problem. I mean, it's still Mezalzel and Shabbos. If you're making an actual... Again, we said to begin with, that first of all, they could be people who made an Erev Tchumen. Remember, Nehemiah didn't make an Erev Tchumen, so he's stuck outside 2,000 Amos. You could have people from the same city who made an Erev Tchumen, so they have 4,000 Amos in that direction. Or... Yeah, you could have. No, what do you mean, how would you get them? The city itself, let's say, is within the tchum of the original one. The city, the next city over is 2,000. Remember, you're not talking about cities like nowadays where cities extend for miles. You're talking about the small towns they had in those days. I think more like bungalow colonies. So you could have another one, which is within a tchum Shabbos of the original one. So you're able to go there and may, or for that matter, you don't even have to go all the way to the city. You stand some distance away from the city and you yell out to them and say, we need some people out here.
Well, I would say it's a city. How many lives over here? But hold on, people live over here.
Well, that's true also. No, no. If they all live in the same city, it doesn't matter. Everybody who lives in the same city has the same tone. Yeah. Doesn't matter where in the city. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. But they can live in the next town over and it would work. Yeah. Yeah. Again, it could also be they could get goyim for the purpose. It doesn't have to be Jews. It doesn't have to be Jews who are making up the machitza. What? Wouldn't make a difference whether it's Jews or goyim. No, it still wouldn't be good. No. Yeah, let's see. Okay, onward. Another example. Yeah, yeah. 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 Well, we're not waiting. Hanu ziki dehavu shaden beristika de mechuzah. There were these wine skins or water skins or whatever bags that were used for carrying liquids that were in the street in mechuzah and they belonged to Rava. Bahadi de osa Rava mipirke. When Rava was coming back from his shiur and you had a bunch of people surrounding him, although you have a bunch of people surrounding him in the street. Alinu Niale, so his shamash took the wineskins and brought them in, because here you have, in effect, you have a mechitza of people surrounding Rava, there's a huge crowd, so therefore, they're not trying to be a mechitza, so therefore he brought them in. L'shabsa achrina boy Alinu, another Shabbos he wanted to do the same thing again, but also Lahu, and Rava told him at this point it's also, to have like a ladas for also, at this point, it's considered ladas, because now people are going to realize, now already from the first time, people realize what's going on, that they were serving as a mechitza, you can't do that again. The actual halacha in Shulchan Aruch is, what you can have is, if you had people served as a mechitza on behalf of one person, they can serve as a mechitza on behalf of a different person another time. That we don't consider as necessarily going to be Ladas, but they can't do it again for the same person. And here we have, it's for the same person, it's for the sake of Rava's wineskins. So therefore, it would be awesome. Yeah, so why were they in the street? Basic finish, but they were. Another example, Levi Ailu Leitivna. For Levi, they one time used this method to bring straw in that had been left out in the street. Z'iri Aspasta. For Z'iri, they did this kind of thing one time where he had Aspasta, which is unripe stalks of grain that they used to use as animal food. Or it's a special crop, whatever. Yeah. Rav Shimi Bachia Maya, and for Rav Shimi Bachia, they did this in order to bring water in. In all those cases, it was Shaloi Ladas, and it's Mutter. In the end, in Shulchan Aruch, it says, so it is Mutter. However, it should only be done where there's Tzorech Gadol, where there's a great need for it. You shouldn't just stam do it because you left. You shouldn't stam do it because you left something in Rishas Rabim only when you have an extreme need like this, like Nehemiah who's stuck outside the Tchum, or like these other examples. Yeah. Mishnah says, Misha Yotza Birushus. So now this Mishnah, this Mishnah and the Gemara on it, we're going to talk about a case now like this. Normally we said in the first Mishnah that a person goes outside the Tchum, then they only have four Amos. In some cases, fine. We said the Halacha is like Rav Gamliel, so if they're in a new enclosure, then their Tchum is that entire enclosure, but that's it. They don't have a new Tchum of 2,000 Amos. Our Mishnah and the Gemara is going to talk about a case where a person gets a new tchum in the middle of Shabbos. They started out within one tchum Shabbos, and now later on, not where goyim enclosed them. That would be the case we had already, where they can walk within the enclosure, but that's it. No, here we're going to talk about where, again, the whole concept of a tchum of 2,000 amos is Rabbanon. So therefore, the same Rabbanon who said that it's also to go outside 2,000 amos, they're able to make exceptions and say, in certain cases, when a person goes for a certain purpose, then we give them a new tchum of 2,000 amos from where they are now. So that's what we're going to discuss now. So the Mishnah says, Mishi Yotza Birushus. If a person went out of his original city with permission of the Chachamim. Examples, Rashi says, is number one, if a person is going for Eidus HaChodesh, so we know back when the Sanhedrin was Makadish the Chodesh al Piyariya, Edim had to come every month to say that they saw the moon, and that could take place on Shabbos, and the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah tells us that they do that, they're Mechal Shabbos in order to come. So that's an example of Yotzin Bereshus. No, one second. They can actually be Mechal Shabbos even on a Daraisa level. The Mishnah mentions over there, for example, that let's say if it's dangerous, if there's people that might attack them on the way, they're allowed to take along sticks. They're allowed to take along food for the trip, even though this is carrying. Because as far as Tchumen also, they're allowed to go outside the Tchum. Other examples, Rashi says, a person is going to save people from an attack by Goyim or from a flooding river. You know, you think of this Mishnah and this Gemara over here is very relevant to Hatzalah. So we're going to talk about, we'll talk about tomorrow, Best Hashem, how a lot of these dinim relate to Hatzalah nowadays. Another example, Rashi says, is a midwife who's coming to help, to assist in a birth. So in all those cases, they're allowed to travel outside the tchum. That's Mishi Yatzibershus. The Omruloi Kvar Nasa Maise. On the way, they tell the person the thing is already done. The Jews have already been saved. The woman has already been given birth. The Sanhedrin was already Makadish the Chodesh, etc. What happens? Yeshloi Alpaim Amalachoruach. He has a new tum of 2,000 amas in every direction from where he is now. Now, actually, the Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah mentions that originally it wasn't like that. Originally, the din was that, for example, the Eidus HaChodesh, when they came to Yerushalayim, because they'd come from outside the Tchum, originally the Mishnah says over there, they were limited only to within, only the Chotzer that they were in. They brought them to the Chotzer called Beis Yazik, and they would stay there for the rest of Shabbos. They weren't allowed to go out of it. But then Rav Gamliel HaZaken made a takana that, because we don't want to discourage people in the future from coming. If they know in the future that they can only come and they're only limited within this place, they may not bother coming at all. So therefore he made the takana that they have a new Tchum of 2,000 in every direction. So here it's the same thing. So here it's the same thing. Im hoya b'secha tchum, if the person was within the tchum when they told him, ki'ilu lo yotza, then it's as if he'd never left. We'll see in the Gemara what that means exactly. And we'll see two different opinions on that, what it means in the Gemara. Also, kol ha'yotza mahatzo chozion l'mekayimam. Everybody who goes out to save is allowed to return back. Now again, we'll see in the Gemara what that means. This is relevant to Hatzalah, yeah. Okay, so the Gemara starts off. My im hoya b'secha tchum ki'il lo yotza. What does that expression in the Mishnah mean? If he was within the tchum, it's as if he didn't leave. Now, obviously, if he's still within his original tchum, obviously there's no chiddush. He didn't leave his tchum. Of course, he still has his original tchum. So, what does the Mishnah mean by that? Omer Rabba hachikomer. So Rabba says it means like this. Im hoya b'soich tchum shaloi ki'ilu lo yotz mitech beisei jami. It means like this. If he's still within his original tchum, then it's as if he never left his house. Meaning, in other words, like this we would say originally he had the tchum of his house. Now we're saying that once he finds out on the way that Nasa Maisa, we're saying that now he has a new tchum. So Rabba is saying that no, if he's still within the original tchum, then he still has only his original tchum. We don't need to give him a new tchum of 2,000. He's still within his original tchum, and that's it. He doesn't get a new tchum. His tchum is still 2,000 amas from his house or from his city. We don't say that he gets 2,000 from every direction from where he is now. So in other words, so the point is, Rabbi is saying, so if he's outside his original tchum, then he gets a new tchum of 2,000. But if he's still within his original tchum, the point is not, he doesn't get a new tchum of 2,000 amas relative to where he is now. We just consider his tchum is still the original tchum of his house. So he returns back home, and then for the rest of Shabbos, he can still walk in 2,000 amas every direction from his house, not from where he is right now. Rav Shimi Bachia, Amar Hachikama, Rav Shimi Bachia says, no, that's not what the Mishnah means. It means im hoyu tchumen shenosnu lechachamim muvloyin b'secha tchum shaloi. It means if the new tchum that the chachamim gave him overlaps his original tchum, then it's as if he never left his original tchum. Meaning Rav Shimi Bar Chiya is being much more makel. He's saying that what we do is because the tchumim overlap over here. What we do is we say he's now in a place where we would have to give him a new tchum. He's outside his original tchum, but that overlaps with the original one. So he walked less than 4,000 amas, in other words. So now what we do is now we consider as if it was one big tchum. So now he has that entire area, both rectangles, as his tchum. So he's able to walk within that. He's able to walk within that new tchum So now he's still able to walk within that one. He's also able to return. So what happens is he walks that entire tchum, having come to the end of that new tchum. He's now already within his original tchum, and from there he can walk back home. So it comes out that he's able to walk. So he's able to walk that entire distance. Whereas again, Rabba would say that not. Rabba would say if he's at this point over here, then he has a new tchum, midrabanan, fine. But once he walks within that tchum, that doesn't allow him to return back home because that would be beyond his current tchum. Okay. But my commentary, what's the underlying machlokas between Rabbah and Rav Shimi Bar Chiya? The machlokas says, Mar Sava have lost Chumim Milsehi. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya says that the fact that two Chumim overlap is considered something significant. So the fact that the new Chum overlaps with the original one, it's considered as if it was one big Chum, so therefore, in effect, he never left his Chum. Whereas Rabbah holds that not. The fact that two tchumim overlap doesn't help you. It gives you, you have your new tchum, but you don't have your original tchum back. Now Rashi says, now we learned at the beginning of the Perek, we have the case, where a person is a little bit outside the tchum, and then he only has four amas, and there we said he has to go to the bathroom. We said he's allowed to look for a place to go to the bathroom, Godo Kuveid Abrius, and we said the Nahadoi said over there that if he's smart, he starts walking in the direction of his original tchum, and then he winds up within his original tchum, and then he's allowed to continue back home. Rashi says Rabbah would disagree with that concept, because there you also have a similar kind of thing, two tchumim that overlap. Two tchumim that overlap, because his new tchum of four, his mini tchum of four amas, his original tchum of 2,000, that's a case where they overlap, because he walked out of one to get to the bathroom, and Rashi says Rabbah would disagree with that concept. Tosfos says that not, that... Tosfos says the difference is over there, he didn't stay within his four amas. The whole point of that case over there was he went out of his four amas to find a private place where he could go to the bathroom. So there he's outside his four amas. We need to give him a new four amas, and that happens to be within his original tchum, so then we can say he gets back his original tchum. As opposed to over here, he has a tchum of 2,000 to begin with. So therefore, Rabbah would say that that the fact that that overlaps with his original 2,000 amas tchum doesn't help us. Okay. Then Rashi brings a whole nother explanation, a different girsa in the Gemara. That what we're talking about over here, that the case is, Rashi explains that he did leave his original tchum. Again, the way we have the girsa in front of us in the Gemara is that Rabbah would say that only if he's within his original tchum does he have his original tchum. If not, once he went out of it, he has his new tchum of 2,000, but he can't go back into his original one. And Rav Shimi Bar Chiya is saying he can. Rashi brings a different girsa over here, that Rabbah would say, that Rabbah would say, yes, okay, he has 2,000 amas from where he is, and he's able to go, according to Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, we would say that it's as if he never left his house. Now, he's already in the second tchum, he's already more than 2,000 amas away from a city, but we would still say that he actually has both. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya would say he now has a double tchum. He has the tchum of his new place and the tchum of his original house. In effect, therefore, he would be able to walk as much as 8,000 amas on that Shabbos, because he can walk almost 8,000, 79.99, because he can walk all the way from here. So he was over here, let's say, when they told him that Kvar Nasa Maisa. So he has a new tchum over here. Rav Shimi Bar Chiya would say he's able to walk till the edge of that tchum. From there, he's able to walk back throughout his new tchum and his old tchum. He has both of them, whereas Rabbah would say he only has his new tchum, whereas Rabbah would say he only has his new tchum and not his old tchum. So, to be exact, what Rashi says is, according to Rabbah, no, Rabbah would agree he can go back home, but Rabbah would say once he goes back home, that's it. He goes back to his original tchum, he loses the new tchum. As opposed to, according to Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, he has the new tchum and the old tchum for that Shabbos. Okay. Amalei Abaye l'Rabbah, so Abaye says to Rabbah, v'af l'tisvara da havlost tchum and milsehi, don't you agree that the fact that tchum and overlap is considered something significant? Uma ilu shavas b'ma'ara, imagine a case of a person who spends Shabbos in a cave. Now you can see this, you can see the diagram in Rashi over here of the cave. You can also see a picture of it over here. We're talking about a cave which has two entrances. Now, let's say that the cave is wider on the bottom than it is on the top. So you have the inside the cave is more than 4,000 amas, but that's fine, because even though, no matter how large it is, it's still an enclosed area, and you would be able to walk throughout the whole thing. On top of it is less than 4,000 amos because it narrows towards the top, and therefore it's from one entrance of the cave to the other is less than 4,000. Lo nimtza mahalachas kula v'chutzla alpayim amos. Wouldn't the din be, and l'chora everybody agrees to that, that you would be able to walk the entire length of the cave as well as 2,000 amos in each direction from the two entrances, meaning, because Rashi explains, again, because it's a case of have lost chumen, because the two entrances are within 4,000 amas of each other, the chum of one overlaps with the chum of the other. So therefore, if the top of the cave was 4,000 amas, then the only way to get from one to the other would be through the cave. You'd have to go down and go through the cave, and then that would be fine because the cave is an enclosed area. You can walk in it no matter how large it is. But because the two entrances are within 4,000 amas, then you don't even need that. The two tchumim overlap, and the din is that you're allowed to walk outside the cave, and you're allowed to walk 2,000 amas in each direction, no matter which, in other words, whichever entrance you came out of, you're allowed to walk on the top all the way to the other entrance, and 2,000 amas from there. So we see that have lost chumim is something significant. So Rabbi says, don't you know there's a difference between whether he started out Shabbos within those mechitzes or not? In the case of the cave, yes, he started out Shabbos within the cave, so the cave becomes his rishus, and the two entrances to the cave, therefore each of them is an entrance into his makom shvisa, into his house, in effect, and therefore the fact that the tchumen of the two entrances overlap allows him to walk above ground from one to the other and the whole 2,000 amas. Here we're talking about the person was not within these Ava Mechitzes before Shabbos. He only has a new tum because the Chachamim granted him a new tum because he was Yotze Bereshus. So therefore, we can't say that have lost tumen should make a difference. So the question is, v'heichad b'lo shavas loy. Still, you're telling me that if he didn't start out Shabbos within the Mechitzes, then we're going to say that, no, you don't say have lost Chumen. V'hatnan, we learn at the end of our parak, Rabbi Eliezer, we quoted it before in the Gemara, Rabbi Eliezer, Amishtayim Yikonis, Gimel Lo Yikonis. Rabbi Eliezer says that if a person is two Amos outside the Chum, then he's still able to go back in, but three not. My lab, Rabbi Eliezer, L'taymei, L'chura, Rabbi Eliezer is going, now we're going to ask why we're asking from Rabbi Eliezer if the halacha on the face of it is not like him, but we'll get back to that point in a minute. But on the face of it, Rabbi Eliezer is going according to his own svara, D'amav Ahu B'emtzon. He says when we talk about the four amas that a person has when he's outside the tchum, it means he's in the middle, it means he has two amas in each direction. V'arba amas d'yavale rabbanon k'man d'mivlon d'amu. So therefore, the four amas that he has, the two amas that he has in every direction, overlaps with, the Rashi actually says it borders on the tchum that he had, because he has two amas, and then that the edge of that comes to 2,000 amas, because he's two amas out. Actually, the Gemara later on says it a little bit differently. The Gemara says, Rabbi Eliezer is talking about where he's less than two amas away from the edge of the tchum. There's like an amma and a half away, so therefore there is a certain overlap over there. Anyway, so therefore, v'kamar yikonis, and Rabbi Eliezer is saying you're allowed to go in, back into his original tchum and back to his house. Alma havlos tchum and milsi. You see that havla is considered something important. So why are you, Rabbi, saying that not? Amalei Rabbi Babachonah v'Abaya. So Rabbi Babachonah, or Rabbi Babachonin, actually, it's supposed to be, says to Abaya, so what's the problem? Why are you even asking from Rabbi Eliezer, where the halacha is not like him? The halacha is like the Chachamim. Even if you're one Amma outside the tomb, you can't go back in, unless you manage to do something like we had before with Nehemiah. So why are you even bringing a question from what Rabbi Eliezer says? So Abaya answers, ain. As a matter of fact, yes. Because I heard from our Rebbe, namely Rabbah, Ad kan lepligi aleidu rabbonon aleidu Rabbi Eliezer el dvar harashus. The Chachamim's argument with Rabbi Eliezer is only when if a dvar harashus, only when to begin with he went out. He went out optionally, so then he wasn't supposed, he didn't have permission to go outside the tchum. So then we're talking about now, is he able to go back in? Is he able to go his two amas and then be back in? Av l'dvam mitzvah moidulei, but when he went out to begin with l'dvam mitzvah, then they would be moida, that havla is considered something important. So why is Rabbi saying that havla is not? Why is Rabbi saying that havla is not important? So actually, Rashi points out, if we go looking at the two Lashonis that we had before in Rashi, the two explanations of what's going on over here, according to the first explanation that Rabba would say once he's in his new tchum, he can't go back to his old one. Okay, then we understand what Abaya's question is, because we see over there he is able to return home. According to the second Lashon, Rashi says, I don't understand. Nobody's asking him to go home. Even Rabba is not asking him to go home. He just says he doesn't have his old tchum plus his new tchum, and Rav Shimi Bachia is saying he does. So Rashi says that, because maybe what we would say is in this case with the two Amos, it's not, there's no overlap. It's just exactly one next to the other. He's two Amos outside. Then right at the end of the two Amos begins the 2000 Amos. And we still see Rabbi Eliezer is allowed, allowing him to go in, and the Chachamim agree with him on Dvar Mitzvah. So we see, in other words, that there could be this concept of having two Tchumim in effect. So that's it. So at least according to the first Lashon, we have schlugged up Rabba. According to the second Lashon and Rashi, okay, we haven't schlugged up Rabba, but still, it doesn't work out so smoothly according to him. The halacha is like Rav Shimi Bar Chiya, that in this case, in other words, we would say that he's able to return home according to the first Lashon, or that he's able to have the two Tchumim, the old one and the new one, according to Rashi's second Lashon. This is where he went out Lidvah Mitzvah to begin with. And then he was told on the way, Kvar Nasa Maisa, and you don't need to go and do it. So then, okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Bezat Hashem, and we'll talk about the next part, about Chozun L'Mekayman, and we'll talk about, Bezat Hashem, the relevance of this to Hatzalah nowadays. If Tchum is Zeraitza, like Rabbi Akiva, then not necessarily would all these dinim apply, but then maybe we would say that, yeah, I mean, so even then, it might be that Midah Raisa, you could still say that a person goes out Bidur Shus, then he's able to have a new Tchum. Because then, in effect, you would say that he has a new Mokum Shvisa for the rest of that Shabbos. But I don't know. The Gemara is not taking that up. So.